Today's Torah portion Vayechi marks the end of Jacob and Joseph's story and the end of the first book of the Torah, Bereshit, Genesis. The chapter is full of all kinds of prophecies, some of which I would like to consider today. It begins with the fact that the elderly Jacob asks to bring his two grandsons, Ephraim and Manasseh, the sons of Joseph, to him. Then Jacob commands that from that time the sons of Joseph should be reckoned as the sons of Jacob. Jacob blesses Manasseh and Ephraim and gives Ephraim the priority in the blessing, although he was younger than Manasseh. At the same time, a remarkable prophecy is proclaimed, which speaks of many nations who will descend from Ephraim. Let us read verse 19, book of Genesis, Bereshit, chapter 48. Let us read together. Genesis 48, 19. In this verse, Jacob put Ephraim above Manasseh. So let us read. But his father refused and said, "I know that, my son, I know it. He too will become a people, and he too will be great. Nevertheless, his younger brother will be greater than he, and his descendants will grow into many nations." We know that later the prophets, speaking about the people of Israel, sometimes used the name Ephraim towards Israel. Can you imagine? Of all the children of Jacob, the youngest one begins to play a unique role in his family and the future of the Jewish people, the youngest one. We know that Joseph's entire life was the prophecy about the Messiah. And amid this, the story of the blessing of Ephraim looks fascinating. A few weeks ago, we talked about a very important topic. The Lord blesses a person not because of his position in society or his family origin, but only because of his trust and faith in God. It reminds me of Yeshua's parable in Matthew chapter 20 about the workers in the vineyard, which ends with verse 10. Chapter 20, verse 16. So the last will be first, and the first last. In his parable, Yeshua tells us about salvation by grace through faith, that everyone has the opportunity to inherit God's blessing, forgiveness, and eternal life. And also this parable tells us about a special place for Gentiles, people from other nations who come to God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob later than the Jewish people of Israel. Still, they share the same blessing and the inheritance of the Lord on an equal basis with the Jewish people. Later in Genesis 49, Jacob calls all his sons to proclaim their future. Among all the other blessings that the father spoke to his sons, I would like to highlight the word for Judah. Let us open Genesis 49, verse 10. This verse presents us with the prophecy about the coming Messiah. Let us read Genesis 49, verse 10. The scepter will not pass from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he to whom it belongs will come. To him will be the obedience of the peoples. The English translation of this verse from the Torah is not entirely complete and doesn't reveal the whole meaning of this chapter. So I want to use the Orthodox Jewish Bible translation here. I would like to read in this translation. Genesis 49, verse 10. The Shevet, scepter, shall not depart from Yehuda, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall be the obedience of the Amim, peoples, nations, until Shiloh come. What an interesting name, Shiloh, here. There is no common understanding about the origin and meaning of the word Shiloh, but most commentators point out that it is about the Messiah, about the coming King Messiah. I want to cite a few most common ones. The famous Jewish commentator of the Torah, Rashi, writes that the origin of the word Shiloh is unknown, but surely unequivocally states that it is about the Messiah, the Mashiach. Some commentators claim that the word comes from the Hebrew root shalev, which means peaceful, and the Hebrew word shalvah, peace, can be deprived from this word. In other words, the Messiah in this place of the scripture is the conciliator, peacemaker, the prince of peace. Shiloh can be also translated from Hebrew as he who it is, he who it is. With this in mind, this verse can be read this way. Until he comes, he who is peacemaker, conciliator, prince of peace, and the obedience of the nations to him. Wow. So it says here that the royal line of Judah will not end until we gain his, God's peace, shalom, through the conciliator, prince of peace. Here we find a fascinating prophecy about many nations and peoples from different tribes who will obey the one who is to come, the Messiah. One of the statements of Orthodox Judaism is that faith in Yeshua is only for Gentiles, is not for Jews. The Jews do not believe in Jesus. And as an argument, they cite that Christians are mostly non-Jews, which means that this is the faith of Gentiles and not Jewish. But the very prophecy we just read says that through the peacemaker, conciliator, the Messiah, many people from all the tribes of the earth will come to faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the nations will obey him. Wow. In the history, that is exactly what happened during the first Messianic revival 2,000 years ago, when many people from other tribes became part of the Jewish Messianic communities. It is also our vision from the Lord for today. One of the Jewish Messianic synagogue's main goals is that Jews and non-Jews can worship and serve God in one accord, in unity. This is one of the tasks of the Jewish Messiah in Jacob's prophecy. Conciliator or peacemaker, one of the titles of the Messiah. And in the book of prophet Isaiah, he is called Prince of Peace. Let us read together book of Isaiah, verse 5, verse 6, and verse 7. I would like to start with verse 5. It is the prophecy about coming Messiah. So let us read together. For to us a child is born, a son will be given to us, and the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, my Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace, or Prince of Shalom. He who owns peace, who owns shalom, who can fill us with his shalom. He is the only one who can bring peace into our hearts. Remember the words from Matthew 11. Yeshua says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." It is he, Prince of Peace, Prince of Shalom, who can give us and who wants to give us rest, his shalom. The next verse 7. I'm sorry, verse 6. On the increase of his government and shalom, there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it through justice and righteousness from now until forevermore. The zeal of Adonai Tzevaot will accomplish this. Again, in verse 6, we find the prophecy that the Messiah's authority and power will spread to all ends of the earth. It speaks of the faith and obedience of other nations to him. Later in the book of Isaiah, we read in verse 7, very important statement from the prophet Isaiah. Adonai sent a word to Jacob, and it fell upon Israel. He sent it to Jacob, and it fell upon Israel. The word of God is another name of the Messiah, and we can find about the coming of the word of God in John 1:14. I would like to read it, John 1, verse 14. And the word became flesh and tabernacled among us. We looked upon his glory, the glory of the one and only from the Father, full of grace and truth. Such a profound and exciting prophecy came through Jacob that today you and I can strengthen our faith in our Messiah Yeshua, the Conciliator, Prince of Peace, our Lord. And let us read another interesting verse from Jacob's prophecy about Judah. The same place of the scripture, Genesis 49, verse 11. I would like to read verse 10 and again and verse 11. The scepter will not pass from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he to whom it belongs will come. To him will be the obedience of the peoples. And verse 11. Binding his foal to the vine, his donkey's colt to the choice vine, he washes his garments in wine, and in the blood of grapes his robe. What a wonderful place of scripture. We remember that Yeshua rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, thereby literally fulfilling Jacob's prophecy. But let's break down the meaning of verse 11. Let us look carefully in this verse. What does it mean? He washes his garments in wine, and in the blood of grapes his robe. The fact is that many Jews expected the Messiah to come as king and ruler, as the son of David, as a military leader, as Maccabee. But Yeshua came as the son of Joseph, the suffering Messiah, the Redeemer who paid for us and redeemed us with his blood. So when we pray the ancient prayer, Borei Pricha Gafen, prayer for the vine, for the Jews, we remember the fruit of the vine, the blood of the grape. The juice of the grapes has the meaning of the blood of the earth. So in verse 11, Jacob prophetically indicates the calling of the Messiah, his redemptive mission, that he will pay the price by his own blood. Let's read about the fulfillment of this prophecy. I like this place. It is Revelation chapter 19. Verse 11 through verse 16. Revelation 19, 11 through 16. Here's the fulfillment. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one riding on it is called Faithful and True, and he judges and makes war in righteousness. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and many royal crowns are on his head. He has a name written that no one knows except himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. Again, he is robe dipped in blood. We just read about it in Prophecy of Jacob. And his name he's called is the Word of God. We just read it in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. So verse 14. And the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he shall rule them with an iron rod, and he treads the winepress of the furious wrath of Elohei Tzevaot, the God of armies. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a powerful prophecy it is to see Yeshua coming in his glory to rule over this earth. And also I want to read Matthew 27, verse 35, 36, and 37. It is so important to remember these days. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothing among themselves by casting lots. And they sat down and kept guard over him there. Over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Yeshua, the King of the Jews." Glory and praise to the King of the Jews, the Messiah, who reconciled humanity with God by paying such a great price, his own life, shedding his blood as a sign of the new covenant with us, ultimately redeeming us from death and sin for eternal life. You and I have something to thank God for and worship Yeshua. From today's Torah portion, we know Joseph did not answer evil for evil to his brothers and became their savior. In the same way, despite centuries of denial and enmity from the Jewish people, Yeshua did not reject his people and is always ready to save, because he is the conciliator and the Messiah of Israel. At the end of the book of Genesis, we see his brothers asking for forgiveness for the evil they had done to Joseph. I would like to read it briefly. It is Genesis chapter 50, verse 20 and 21, because it is so interesting for us. Here's the Joseph. "Yes, you yourselves planned evil against me. God planned it for good, in order to bring about what it is this day, to preserve the lives of many people. So now don't be afraid. I myself will provide food for you and your little ones." So he reassured them, speaking kindly to them. Verse 20 says that God turned all evil into good. Through Joseph, lives of many people have been preserved. Likewise, because some part of the people of Israel rejected Yeshua, salvation came to all the nations of the earth. Romans chapter 11, verse 11 and 15. I would like to read briefly these verses. Romans 11, 11 and 15. It is here. "But by their false step, salvation has come to the Gentiles." And verse 15. "For if their rejection leads to the reconciliation of the world, their rejection leads to reconciliation of the world." At a certain stage in human history, the Lord turned the rejection of the Messiah into good. The news of the mercy of God of Israel spread to all nations in order to preserve the lives of many people, as it was in the life of Joseph. Once upon a time, these many people were the sons of Jacob and all the tribes of Egypt. And now, after more than three millennia, all the nations of the earth have been included in this great number, multitude of people. When Joseph's brothers came to him in repentance, mercy was poured out on the family, just as it is now. Today, the Lord Yeshua says to his people, his Jewish people, "So now, don't be afraid. I myself will provide food for you and your little ones." Any person, any Jew Any person from any nation of the earth who puts his trust on Yeshua the Messiah can experience the love of the Lord. As Joseph said, so he reassured them, speaking kindly to them. Once again, I would like to read Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and verse 30. Yeshua says, she is saying to you and to me right now, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. It seems symbolic that this story ends the book of Bereshit, the book of Genesis, the first book of the Torah. The coming of the people of Israel to Yeshua will mark the end of the old history of humankind, a past filled with evil, violence, fears, tears, and ignorance. As Rabbi Shaul, Apostle Paul, wrote to Romans chapter 11, verse 15, for if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will acceptance be but life from the dead? The rejection of their Messiah served to the fact that the whole world was able to be reconciled with God. And when the people of Israel accept Yeshua as their Messiah, the world will not only be reconciled with God, but it will rise from the dead. A new history of humankind will begin, history under the rule of the great God of Israel and his Messiah. In conclusion, I want to show the key to receiving the blessing from the Lord, the key to spiritual success. It is in one verse, Genesis 48, verse 12. Then Joseph took them from his knees and bowed with his face down to the ground. Even though his father was old and couldn't see, Joseph bowed to the ground before Jacob. Despite all his power and wealth, Joseph humbled himself before his father because his heart was full of respect. And I fully believe that the culture of humility is the key to a blessing from the Lord. I want to conclude with a prayer. And if you need to humble yourself before Yeshua to come to his feet in order to receive his peace, please, please pray with me. Lord, I come to you in the name of Yeshua. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your Yeshua, your Messiah. I thank you for your great mercy. And I ask, Lord, please forgive all my sins and fill me, Lord, with your peace, with your joy, and with your eternity, Lord. I come to you in repentance, and I thank you, Lord, for eternal life in Messiah Yeshua. Amen. Thank you. In the end, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider being a blessing to Beth Israel. We will close with Aaron's blessing as we normally do at Beth Israel. Let us pray together. Yevrechecha Adonai v'ishmerecha. Yer Adonai panavalecha v'ichunecha. Yisa Adonai panavalecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Shabbat shalom, mishpacha. Shabbat shalom.